Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Min Dong. 2.5 hours until March Madness tips off.
2.5 hours, first four games tipping off today. Can't wait for them, man. They're going to be very exciting. Obviously, there's two today and there's two tomorrow before the big dance begins at 12:15 on Thursday. But yeah, we're very excited. Obviously, the time is finally here. These games should still be interesting. For those of you that think the first four is just kind of a layover, whatever. No, I mean, there's some very good games in here. So I'm very excited for them. I'm definitely going to be watching them. I wish the first game was a little bit earlier, but it is what it is. But we'll see what happens over in Dayton, Ohio today and tomorrow.
As in mind, those games will be on True TV. The only time True TV is relevant. Sorry to tell you guys that. But 6:40 is the first game. We'll kick things off with the 2-16 seeds, SEMO versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi. The winner will have the right to face. Who do they have the right to face?
That's a good question. I think it's Houston. No, is it Houston? I got pulled the bracket. Now you got me confused. No, not Houston.
You have the right to face Purdue. Bama.
Oh, Bama? No. I thought it was Purdue.
Nope.
Oh, I'm looking at Wednesday's game. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Fairleigh Dickinson, Texas. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, they have the right to face Bama. So who you got facing Bama?
Yeah, this should be a good game. Obviously, A&M Corpus Christi made it here last year to the tournament, that is. SEMO, this is the first time making it. So it should be interesting. I think SEMO was obviously a surprise coming out of the OVC. A&M Corpus Christi, we kind of expected them to do good things this year. So I think everyone's probably going to be picking A&M Corpus Christi. But I honestly think SEMO has a very good shot. Obviously, Philip Russell is an absolute hooper. But at the end of the day, it is kind of a one-man show, it seems, over there. So I'm going to go Corpus Christi to win this game to go face Bama.
As in my A&M Corpus Christi, though, they are missing, forgot his name, Trayvon Murdoch. He's one of their leading scorers. He's out for the season with a knee injury. But, yeah, this should be a high-scoring game. Obviously, Vegas has the over-under at 156.5, so – you know it's going to be a high-scoring game if that's the case. And, yeah, I think Corpus Christi has a lot more weapons, and they should use them to their advantage.
Definitely agree. That game should be good. Starts at 6:40 on True TV, like you said. Next game up, following them at 9:10. It's one of the 11 matchups. It is Pittsburgh taking on Mississippi State. The winner here goes to play Iowa State in the Midwest region. What are your thoughts on both of these teams? Obviously, two of the last four teams in. What do you think?
Yeah, I think both should have been in the last four teams in. Mississippi State had a very good non-con and won just enough games in the SEC to be in that position. Obviously, led by that win against Marquette. And Pitt, they just had a very good season and very consistent. So I think both these teams do deserve to make in the last four, and despite Pitt's poor net rating. But regardless of what happens, who the winner is here, I have the winner of this game taking down Iowa State. I believe we both do. And I believe the winner is going to be Pitt in a very fun matchup. Obviously, Pitt prides themselves with a three-point shooting. Mississippi State, fun fact, dead last in three-point percentage in all of college basketball. And it's funny because the second-to-last team in a three-point percentage in all of college basketball is also playing the first four. It is Texas Southern tomorrow. So that was just pretty funny. Two of the worst three-point shooting teams in college basketball playing in the first four. Mississippi State, although, I think Tulu Smith's going to have a huge game today because Pitt, they're not really known for the interior D. But I think they'll make enough threes, especially Blake Hinton, to win this game and beat Iowa State as well.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I'm sorry you heard that commercial. I don't know. It's of course the ESPN. But yeah, I mean, I think this will be a closer game than some people expect. I honestly like the pick going into this game, but I can really see this game going either way. Both these teams have had their struggles, but also have had their successes this year. Looking at their last games, obviously Pitt lost to Duke in the ACC championship and ACC conference tournament. Sorry, and Alabama beat Mississippi State in the conference tournament. So both these teams had to go against good opponents. I think it really comes down to shooting, like you said, and Pitt obviously not known for their shooting, but I think Pitt is a much more scrappier team. And looking at the wins, I would honestly care to think Pitt has more quality wins than Mississippi State does so far this year. They beat Northwestern earlier this year, obviously NC State, UNC, Virginia, Miami, UNC twice. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of good quality wins. So I'm going to pick Pitt to win this game to go up against Iowa State.
Yeah, so both in agreement there. You have any plays of the day for those today's matchups or no?
Not really. I see A&M Corpus Christi's line just moved as we speak. It was 3 and a couple minutes ago. Now it's up to 3.5. So they look good, but no, I don't really have anything else.
Yeah, I got something out of the NIT though. I'm going with Eastern Washington to cover their 10.5 spread. Plus 10.5 spread against Washington State. I don't know why. Yeah, that upon first impression, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, interesting. Villanova's not favorite against Liberty. I know Cam Whitmore's not playing, but that's just an interesting line. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the NIT. Clemson's playing tomorrow though, so I'm excited for that. I'm probably gonna go to the.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask, will you be attending?
I probably will be. Yeah, they're playing Morehead State, I know, but I think it'll still be a fun game to go do. So I'll probably be gone, to be honest.
Yeah, they'll probably get upset as well, but yeah,
that'd be very disappointing.
We'll go to tomorrow's matchups. Fairleigh Dickinson versus Texas Southern, for the right to play Purdue, 6:40 once again tomorrow in Dayton. Who you got in that one?
Yeah, this one should be good. Obviously, Texas Southern, injuries throughout the year, and they end up making it as the 8th seed with just 14 wins on the year. And obviously, FDU, the team who luckily got in, obviously due to Merrimack not being able to make it. So based on that alone, I'll probably go with Texas Southern here. I think they're obviously peaked at the right time, and they're very hot, and they're finally healthy. So I got Texas Southern winning this game and going up against Purdue.
As am I. I'm going with Texas Southern as well. Fairleigh Dickinson had a hell of a year, but Texas Southern obviously has that tournament experience. They've played in the first four, I think, past 2 years. Same exact core. They're peaking at the right time. They're healthy. I've been saying that. And I like this team to beat Fairleigh Dickinson.
Agreed. And final game of the first four, obviously following that 6:40 game on Troop TV. Yeah, I don't know why all these games are on True TV, but whatever. 9-10, number 11, Nevada, and number 11, Arizona State. The other two last four teams in. Winner of this goes up against TCU. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, this is a very interesting game. Obviously, the Pac-12 versus the Mountain West. I'm very excited to see this game. This is the game I'm most looking forward to out of all the games in the first four. I'm just genuinely excited for this game. Honestly, I could not tell you who I could pick. I think both these teams match up really well against each other. If I had to flip a coin, I'd probably lean 51% Nevada right now. But I think they match up truly really even against each other.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very 50-50 game. And obviously, I think the winner has a good shot against TCU. Obviously, I picked the upset with Nevada. I'm not completely 100% on that selection yet. I kind of need to wait to see who wins that game tomorrow. So my bracket is not technically finalized yet. That's the one game I'm looking at to switch maybe. But yeah, for now, I'm probably picking Nevada as I did when I revealed my bracket. So yeah, I'm going to pick Nevada. Obviously, both these teams have, like I said, a lot of high moments and a lot of low moments. But yeah, I think both these teams are still solid. So I'll probably go Nevada, but I would not be surprised if this goes either way, like you said.
Yeah, and I should do it for the tournament preview. We'll be back probably Monday, I'd say, when when the round of 64 and the round of 32 are all said and done for that second weekend preview. But obviously, I know there's some coaching news. Coaching hires, we'll go with Chris Beard to Ole Miss. What are your thoughts on that? I know you have some stuff to say about that.
Yeah, obviously, it's very interesting. I actually called this one. I don't know if you remember, but I said this way long ago. He's going to Ole Miss once Kermit Davis got fired. But yeah, I mean, this is an interesting hire for Ole Miss. I think this helps them out a lot. I know Ole Miss already lost a lot of recruits because Kermit Davis obviously got fired. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Chris Beard can do at Ole Miss. Obviously, this is his fourth team now coaching. Obviously, Little Rock, Texas Tech, Texas, and now Ole Miss. But yeah, we'll see. I'm very interested by this hire. Obviously, need to see how the recruiting goes and how everything else goes for Ole Miss in order to make a decision. But Chris Beard's obviously shown that he is a very good coach. So yeah, we'll see. I think that's a very good hire for Ole Miss, and it'll take a couple of years to get going. But I like it down the stretch of things.
Yeah, I disagree. I think they'll make the tournament next year. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, he's that good of a recruiter, that good of a coach. So I'm not too worried about Ole Miss. I think this is a significant upgrade from Kermit Davis, who did his best there. Obviously, took this took the program to a tournament in his first year. Fortunately, they play in the SEC and couldn't navigate the next 4 years. But yeah, I think Chris Beard will make the tournament next year.
Agreed. And you want to keep going on coaching, or
what do you? Might as well.
All right.
Just the big hires. We'll do the smaller ones in the off season.
All right. Obviously, we talked about Damon Stoudemire the other day. The AP teams are coming out right now too, as we speak.
All right, let's talk about that instead. We'll cover everyone else.
Well, this is according to March Madness Instagram. The third team came out. All three teams came out. You want to cover those now?
Yeah, we might as well. Now that we're here, we got a lot of time in our hands in this Zoom.
Yeah. All right. We'll start with the third team, then we'll go to the second team, and then we'll go with the first team. Third team, All-Americans. Marquise Noel of Kansas State. Keontae Johnson of Kansas State. Tyler Kolek of Marquette. Chris Murray of Iowa. And Armando Bacot of UNC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, very interesting to see two Kansas States in this third team. It's very interesting to see Chris Murray as well. Bacot, kind of understand. And Tyler Kulik, I think, should have been second team. But it's very interesting. I think the Kansas State picks are very interesting to me. Who would I replace them with? I got to look. But, it's a very interesting third team.
Yeah, I agree. It's very interesting indeed. Shout out to all of these five guys, especially Keontae Johnson. I mean, you know his story, and making it to an All-American team is huge for him. So big shout out to him. But, yeah, I think Kolek should have moved up. Looking at this other second team, I don't know who he'd replace, honestly. There's a lot of good studs here, so I don't know. But shout out, obviously, to all five of those guys.
Yeah, and who was I going to say I was going to replace? Oh, yeah. I'd replace, I'm not too sure, honestly, but I'd like to see Sody Boom in that third team, probably over Noel, maybe Murray. And I'd like to see Isaiah Wong in the team too, because he was ACC Player of the Year. And I'm looking right now, I don't think an ACC player even made it.
Bacot,
that's right. But
that's it, though.
How do you put Bacot in but not the ACC Player of the Year, which it makes no sense to me.
True. Yeah, I mean, that's very fair, honestly. So something to evaluate, obviously. But, yeah, I'm very surprised by that as well, actually, now that you think about it.
Mm-hmm. And the second team, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Oscar Tshiebwe, Drew Timmy, Azules Tubelis, and Jalen Pickett. Forgot to name the teams there, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, obviously, this is another good list. I think it's very good. Timmy, Yeah, Timmy obviously didn't expect him to make the second team, but obviously looking at the first team, it's expected that second team was where he's gonna fit. Tabellus obviously very good from Arizona. Yeah, he definitely proved himself, especially in that tournament. He did phenomenal. Pickett, obviously an absolute sniper. I still remember that 44 efficient game against Illinois. That's one of the best performances I've seen in a while. Shibue obviously was the reigning National Player of the Year. It's hard to go back to back. And usually the Player of the Year usually doesn't even come back another year. So shout out to Shibue for staying consistent, even though he was injured earlier in the year. And obviously Jaime Jaquez, he's an absolute dog, and he's the heart and soul of the UCLA. And if they go far, it's going to be because of him probably.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. All these guys are deserving, obviously. Jaquez has been a regular here. Timmy, Shibue, Tabellus, they've been regulars since last year as well. And Jalen Pickett, I'm very happy to see him on the second team. You could make the case for Kulik and him to flip-flop, but I think Pickett had just a better season than Kulik. And, yeah, well-deserved for Pickett. I'm happy for him.
Definitely agree. Finally, the first team. Not really any surprises now that you look at it, but here we go. Zach Edey of Purdue, Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, Jalen Wilson of Kansas, Marcus Sasser of Houston, and Brandon Miller of Alabama. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Edie was the only unanimous vote. So, yeah, obviously the other guys had some votes for the second team and so on and so forth. But, yeah, no surprises here in my opinion. I don't think there's one surprise here. There's nothing much to say.
Yeah, I don't see any surprises either. But, yeah, obviously shout out to those 15 guys. Very hard to be an All-American in any sport. Obviously this basketball NCAA league is a very hard one. A lot of phenomenal players. So, yeah, shout out to all 15 of these guys. Really earned themselves and proved themselves this year. So, yeah, that's all the All-American teams are. Awards will be coming out probably at the end of the year. Or I don't know when they're coming out, honestly. But they're not out yet. We would have seen them by now. So, stay tuned for them.
Yeah, and remember a week ago, we were coming to AP poll. It's like, oh, yeah, there's two more left. And you're like, no, this is the last week. Week 19, the AP poll.
All right.
So I'm going to cover that since I'm pretty mad that you told me there was no
poll. I thought it was the last week. I thought
there's week 19, and then the tournament comes, and then there's week 20, which is the final AP poll.
Oh, okay.
It works like that in football, too. That's why there's 15 weeks of football. The number one team is it's brand new, receiving 48 of the 61 votes. Sorry. Alabama is the new number one team. Houston moves down to a spot to number two, receiving 9 of the number one votes. And receiving 3 of the number one votes is the number three team. That will be Purdue. 4, Kansas. And rounding out the top 5, the Big 12 champs, Texas, and your national champions, Texas Longhorns. Number 6, Marquette. And receiving the final number one vote is the team at number 7. That would be UCLA with a very strange – I want to see who that voter was, but I'm gonna dive into the research once you get going. Number 8, Arizona. Number 9, Gonzaga. And rounding out the top 10 is UConn. 11, Baylor. 12, Duke, up 9 spots. 13, Xavier. 14, Virginia. 15, Kansas State. 16, Miami, Florida. 17, Texas A&M. 18, San Diego State. 19, St. Mary's. 20, Tennessee. 21, Indiana. 22, TCU. 23, Missouri. And welcome to the top 25. Memphis debuts at 24. And welcome back to the top 25. That would be Florida Atlantic. The drops, Creighton and Kentucky, I believe. Did I get it right?
I think so. I'm on the actual AP site, so I don't even know now. But
yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously a lot of change in the second to last week of the polls. Duke having a big week, up 9 spots. Obviously winning the ACC tournament helps. Shout out Memphis for getting up here. I guess they don't even have the tournament games in their little description. I guess some of them do. Some of them don't. So it's kind of weird. Because you obviously you see Texas beat Kansas. That was regular season though, so I don't know. Regardless, yeah, it's a good poll. I think that there's a clear, distinct top 10 per se, and then everything else just kind of plays itself out. A lot of teams trending down. Indiana trending down. Tennessee trending down. St. Mary's, Kansas State, Miami all trending down at the moment, and obviously UCLA. But yeah, overall good list, and no complaints here for the second to last eight people, I guess.
Yeah, no complaints from me either. But I did find a guy that put UCLA at one. It is Brett Bloomquist from the El Paso Times. He got a very interesting poll. I'll send you the link. But
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, number one is UCLA, and I'm scrolling down. I'm looking at the bottom. He's got Oral Roberts at 22. Yeah, he's a very interesting man. I'm looking. It's a solid poll other than that one outlier. I think Oral Roberts at 22 is definitely a reasonable thing. But, yeah, UCLA at number one is pretty absurd in my opinion.
Agreed. I know, obviously, they've done good things this year, but with the injury and all, yeah, it's a very interesting pick. But, yeah, I think that is all we got for today's episode. Yeah, we'll be back on Monday to cover all of the chaos post first two round games. And yeah, I will be home on or late Friday night. So I get to watch some March Madness on the plane. Can't wait for that. That should be very interesting. So whoever's sitting next to me, I'm sorry if I'm a little too loud. I'll be obviously hyped for March Madness. But yeah, I think this is all we got for today's episode. We will see you back on Monday, concluding the first two rounds. But that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
Always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.